We've been working our way through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are in chapter 5, looking at the benediction that's there, verses 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will be our focus. And then one sermon before we finish up at the looking at the final greetings. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read all of the chapter, but our focus just on the benediction, verses 23 and 24. Hear God's holy word. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray for his blessing on it. Lord, how we thank you and how we praise you for your word. Your word is true and your word is right. And you speak to us, and how we rejoice, Lord, that you speak to us. And as we've already sung, Lord, we do pray, speak, speak, O Lord, that we might hear what you're saying to us. Speak, O Lord, and may your word transform us. So, Lord, be with us now and grant your blessing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last time we looked at a call to joy and to godly living. We saw that we're to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, rejoicing sometimes is easy, but rejoicing always is hard. Praying occasionally is easy, but praying without ceasing can be very difficult. Giving thanks in some circumstances is easy, but giving thanks in all circumstances, in the painful circumstances, can be very hard. And we concluded last week with a command: abstain from every form of evil. Now that's in one sense a very hard verse to close on, isn't it? And here's what I mean. Picture yourself, if you will, having a conversation with Paul one-on-one. And he kind of calls you to come in close and listen up. And he says to you, don't you ever sin. Abstain from every form of sin. And do that while you're rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in all circumstances. And what would your response to Paul be if he called you in close and said that to you? Don't you ever sin. Would you be at least a little bit discouraged, maybe? Even when we love the Lord Jesus Christ, believe God's word, are growing in grace, we don't abstain from every form of evil. We continue to fall short. We continue to sin. And so with those comprehensive demands, and knowing that we fall short, it can be discouraging, can it? To hear that command, abstain from all sin, and then look back on the prior week and say, I've fallen short. But Paul gives us some great encouragement here in verses 23 and 24 in the form of a benediction that he's pronouncing here. And what you need to see in this benediction is that sanctification is the work of God in you. And he's the God of peace. And sanctification will be complete in you. Not in this life, we'll get to that part. But God will complete that work in you. God himself has promised, and he is faithful, and he will do it. And so Paul's purpose in this benediction that he's pronouncing is to encourage you and to encourage me. To hear such an exhortation to abstain from every form of evil and then to look at yourself can be quite discouraging. And perhaps can even drive some to despair. So Paul wants to encourage you with the blessing of God who is at work in you. Now there are people today who will say that we shouldn't talk about holiness or call people to holiness because when they look at themselves, it's going to drive them to despair. Yet Paul calls us to holiness. And the Bible all over the place calls us to holiness. But he doesn't just call us to holiness. He calls us to holiness and then he encourages us with grace. Those things go together. And so today we're going to be talking about sanctification. That is, God working in us, molding us and shaping us into the people that he wants us to be. And four things in that regard. First of all, sanctification is God's work in you. It's not your work. Doesn't mean you don't have anything to do with it or do in it. But sanctification is God's work. In fact, it is the work of the God of peace, number two. And three, sanctification will result in your complete perfection. No sin. And sanctification, it will happen. It will be complete because God has promised and he is faithful. And so the first encouragement that Paul gives us is that it's God himself who sanctifies us. Again, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is God's work in you. It is not your work, it is the work of God in you. It's God who works in you to make you holy. It's not you on your own saying, I've got to be holy all by myself. No, sanctification is God's work in you. It's God who molds you and shapes you and makes you into the person that he wants you to be. Here is the blessing that rests upon every single believer, every single person God has called to himself. God sanctifies you. That is his work in you. And what an encouragement this is. God works in you and God works in me. It's his work. When we hear that command, abstain from every form of evil, and yet at the same time know our weakness and our sin all too well. To know that God works within me is such an encouragement. Our closing song this evening is going to be, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And we sing in that song with regret, "Prone to wander, Lord. I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." With knowing our sinful nature, our proneness to wander, what a joy and a blessing that Paul does not tell us here, "I know that you can do it if you just try hard." Or, "May God help you as you sanctify yourself." Or, "Lord, please help them as they seek to make themselves holy." It's not what he says. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Sanctification is God's work in you. It is only the sovereignty of God in sanctification that enables redeemed sinners to rejoice. In Romans 8:38 and 39 it says this, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." To be sure, there are things we must do in the Christian life. But we need to know that God is far more engaged in our sanctification than we are. Now, sometimes we rightly say, "God is so kind and He's so loving and so good that He's far more ready to forgive you than you are to ask for forgiveness." Sometimes, perhaps, you, for fear, fail to ask for forgiveness because you think, "I've fallen again. I've done it again. I've messed up again. Is He really going to forgive me again?" And the truth of the matter is, He is far more ready to forgive you than you are to ask for forgiveness. But you know what else? He's also far more interested in your sanctification than you are. You may be an earnest Christian, a serious believer in the Lord who reads, studies, and loves the Word of God, who wants to grow in grace. Yet God is more interested in your sanctification, in your growth, than you are. In fact, remember our assurance of pardon this morning. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're not saved by works, but we have been saved for works. And we are His workmanship. He is working these things in us. And so as you look at your fallen nature, as you look at your proneness to wander, know and be encouraged that your God is committed to your sanctification. Now, I know there are some today who say, since God is at work in us for our sanctification, then we don't need to worry about it. We don't need to do anything. But that's not what Paul is teaching here. In fact, it's more so this way. If God is so committed to this in our lives, then so should we. But don't miss the encouragement either. And that is that no matter how committed you are to holiness in your life, God is more committed. God is more committed to you growing in grace than you are. Sanctification is His work in you. And He will not tire. He will not let up. He will not falter. He will not fail in pursuing your growth in grace and Christ-likeness. And so when we hear, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things, and abstain from every form of evil," know that God is working in you for this very thing. And He will sanctify you. So though we strive for holiness, and we must strive for holiness, we depend on the work of God in us. That's our hope, and that's our comfort. The second encouragement that I want you to see is that God is at, or the God who is at work in you, is the God of peace. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you. God here is called the God of peace. The one who is at work in you is the God of peace. And the God of peace, through the gift of His Son, has reconciled us to Himself. We are at peace with God through the perfect life and sacrificial death of Christ. By nature, we are children of wrath, but God is the God of peace who has reconciled us to Himself. Now, if God, the God of peace, has brought us peace through the death of His Son, do you think that He's going to say, "All right, just stay in the muck of your sin"? Certainly not. The God of peace is the one who works in us. And think about this peace. Peace doesn't just mean that you're not at war with God, that you've been reconciled and you're not at war anymore. Peace carries the idea of total well-being, happiness, blessing, friendship with God. You see, the world has this idea that if you want happiness, you have to chuck holiness out the window. The world thinks that if you pursue holiness, you can't be happy. It sees it as two opposite things. Because if you're pursuing holiness, you're going to lead a boring life, is what the world often thinks. But the truth of the matter is that you can't have true happiness without the pursuit of God. You can't have true happiness without the pursuit of holiness. Because it's only God who can ultimately satisfy us. The things of this world will never satisfy. Oh, there may be a passing pleasure with sin, but the world cannot satisfy you. But be encouraged, it's the God of peace, fellowship, friendship, who's at work in you. Now, one of the mistakes that the Wesleyans and the Nazarenes make, or that movement makes, is they say that you can reach a stage of perfection in this life. That you can get in this life to a point where you no longer sin. And in part, that comes from a misunderstanding of this verse here. Because it says, "Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May God sanctify you completely. And brothers and sisters, God will sanctify you completely. But sanctification is an ongoing work in this life that will find its completion when Christ comes again in the end. You will not be sanctified completely now. God is sanctifying you now. It's a process. It's an ongoing work now. But you will be sanctified completely one day. It begins now. And it will be complete when Christ comes again, or when we're taken to be with Him. It's God's purpose to make you completely perfect. And in the end, you will be. But He begins that now. We will never be completely perfect in this life, but we will be in the end. But how do you know that we will be perfect, or not be perfect, rather, in this life? That's not really that hard of a question, is it? How do you know that you won't be perfect in this life? What did we read this morning? Ten Commandments. Did you do okay? Did anybody sin in the last moment? Did anybody sin since this sermon began? Did you lose your focus? let your mind fade even when God is addressing His people? We constantly fall into sin. It ought to be clear to us that we are not going to be perfect in this life, and we're not perfect in this life because the law shows us our sin. Or another familiar passage, 1 John 1:8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. If we say we have not sinned, we're making Him a liar. We're calling God a liar. We do sin. Now, I remember the story of a woman who came to a Presbyterian pastor. I think this was to John Gerstner, if I recall correctly. And she said, "Pastor, I haven't sinned in the last 2 months. I don't remember the exact time." And the pastor responded to her, "I suppose you're very proud of that." And she said, "Well, yes, I am." She didn't see her sin of pride, did she? And that's what it always comes to. It's a failure to recognize. If we could make this claim that we haven't sinned, the problem is we don't understand sin. To make that claim, you need to change the definition of sin. We do sin, and we will continue to sin in this life. Yet the work of sanctification has begun in all believers. God is molding us and shaping us into the people that He wants us to be. And we are, as we saw in Ephesians 2, His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. God is at work. And that is an encouragement. Because if it was just me, I couldn't be encouraged in that. God will complete that work. He will make me like my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is transforming me. What an encouragement that is. My sanctification one day will be complete. Maybe sometimes you've heard some encouragement from other Christians, something like, "Oh, I admire the compassion and the care that you have for others. Oh, I see the gospel at work in you." Or, "Oh, you are such a student of the Word. You know it, you study it, you memorize it. What an encouragement that is to me," some might say to you. And you go and appreciate that and at the same time be thinking, "But you don't know that I didn't even want to get out of bed this morning because I'm downcast." Or you don't know that this sin that I've been struggling with and fighting with, I too often fail and give in. I want to make progress in my Christian life, but I find I'm slow. I mean, maybe people give you words of encouragement, and then you are thinking some of those very types of things. Well, here is the encouragement that Paul is giving to you and giving to me. He's telling us that God is at work in us, and He's not going to stop working until He completes that work in the life to come. And there will be a day. Even as you struggle now, there will be a day when you will no longer sin, when you will no longer be able to sin because God Himself is at work in you, sanctifying you now, and He will make that work complete. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Think about it, a day will come when you will no longer be able to sin. Think along these lines. When God first created man in the garden, before the fall, we could say that man was able to sin. And unfortunately, Adam did sin. And after the fall, fallen man was not able not to sin. But for those whom God redeemed in Christ, man became able not to sin with God working in us. But when Christ comes again or we're taken to the Father, we'll reach that stage where we will not be able to sin. That work of sanctification being complete. Isn't that incredible? There will come a time when we will not be able to sin. Not in this life. But He who works sanctification in us will complete that work. And we won't be able to sin. And I look forward to that day when I will no longer be a sinner. I rejoice in God's forgiveness to me. But I rejoice as well that He is sanctifying me. And I will be made like Him. And notice what Paul says here as well about your whole spirit, soul, and body being kept blameless. Too often we talk about God saving souls. He does save souls. But He doesn't just save souls. We're saved body and soul. He saves us. In fact, with that in mind, I want to point out that too often when a believer dies and when we have a funeral, somebody says something like, "Oh, so-and-so's not here. That's just their body. That's just a shell." Nonsense. I mean, there's a sense in which they're not here because when we die, we go immediately soul to be with the Lord. But then we don't just guard the body. We place it in the ground. And we remain united to Christ, body and soul, for a time when He will come again and He will raise that body incorruptible. We will have new bodies. He saves us body and soul. And so even as Joel's spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord, his body remains united to Christ and it will be raised a new glorified body. Think about this as we mourn the loss of our friend and brother. And we certainly do mourn this loss, and Janet certainly mourns, and it's right that she mourns. But can you imagine this? At one moment, you're mowing your lawn. You got about two strips to go. And then you see your Savior face to face. And He embraces you. And He welcomes you. And He embraces you. Oh, we are discouraged with our loss. But our brother hasn't suffered loss. In fact, he's never going to sin again. And the day is coming for each of us when God's work of sanctification will be complete. And we will never feel inside, but I still struggle with sin. And what a glorious day that will be. I am thankful for my forgiveness, but I'm also thankful that God is not done with me yet. And with this, brothers and sisters, I want you to see as well that if you are in Christ, you will be kept by Christ. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Paul is saying that it is not only God's purpose to make you completely perfect in the end, but to keep you blameless. To keep you till the end, till the coming of Christ. He will not allow you to be snatched from His hands. John Piper once said something like this: "I am amazed when I wake up in the morning that I'm still a Christian. And I realize the fact that I awake in the morning and am still a Christian is entirely due to the preserving grace of God. He has preserved me. I am so thankful that the Lord keeps me because I know I don't keep myself. And I know that if it were up to me to keep myself, I wouldn't be kept. God keeps me because He is faithful and He is reliable. And so if you find yourself fallen and weak, go to Christ, for He will keep you blameless till the end. Here is the amazing thing about the grace of God. In the end, nobody will be saying, 'Lord, I really wanted to be saved. I really wanted to be forgiven. But you just couldn't do it, or you wouldn't do it. Today is the day of salvation. Cry out to the Lord who saves and keeps those whom He saves. Now I want to take a brief look at verse 24. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. What a great verse of encouragement here. Perhaps as you look at verse 23, that benediction, you think, is it really true? I see my sin. I hate my sin. I'm tired of my sin. Will God Himself, the God of peace, really sanctify me completely? Will God really keep me to the end? And Paul says, He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Paul doesn't say, don't worry, I prayed for you. He says, He who called you is faithful. He will do it. He will surely do it. Later, Paul's going to tell the Philippians, I already referred to it, Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So why be encouraged? Because God is faithful. He will do it. The whole Christian life hangs on God's grace, upon God's power, upon God's promise, upon His faithfulness, and not you. Oh, what a blessing that is. Therefore, be encouraged. He who called you by grace from the beginning will complete that work in you. You may say, but Pastor, you don't know how many battles I've lost. That's true. And you don't know how many battles I've lost. But God does. And He is faithful. And He will finish the work He began. So if you're in the fight and you feel like you're losing, take encouragement, not in your strength, but in the faithfulness of your God. And when one is in the fight and concerned that they're losing, you know what that seems to indicate to me? That God is at work within. Because if He's working within, He's going to finish it. And if He's working within, that's why you fail like you're losing. If He wasn't working within, you'd be what? Yeah, I'm okay. The concern is when you're not in the fight, when you don't care about growth in grace, when you don't care about holiness, when you don't care about battling sin. When God begins a work, when He calls someone to faith, He will finish that work. He is faithful. He has promised He will do it. Put your confidence in the faithfulness of your God. Let's pray.